Ladies and gentlemen, we're very pleased to welcome you to another Tech Talk training session. The date is May 5, 2008. And this is really, I think, going to be a very interesting and exciting session for us today. We're going to be interviewing Mr. Jim Kitchen from Ohio. And I consider Jim the icon of accessible games for the blind. Jim has made it his life effort to make games that our sighted friends can enjoy very easily, accessible to us. And I want to say right at the outset, we very much appreciate your work, Jim, to help us, because we've sure all had a lot of fun with your wonderful games. Jim, welcome to Tech Talk first. Before I start asking a question or two here, we certainly want to welcome you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you inviting me.
Jim, could you, we're pleased to do so. Jim, could you tell us a little about your life a little bit as a child and growing up, and then we'll take you step by step into how you began to get into accessible games. So talk to us. Let us get to know you a little better, please.
Well, I've always lived up here in Northeast Ohio. I have RP, so, you know, that started out as night blindness when I was like 8 years old. I drove a car until I was 21 when they declared me legally blind. In high school, I took one computer programming course, and I knew right away that I wanted to, I enjoyed computer programming. And then when I played my first video game in a pinball arcade, I knew I wanted to create video games like that. And I did start creating video games like in 1980 on a Texas Instruments 99-4A. But I then became totally blind in, somewhere around 1989. And so I got my first talking computer in December of 1989. Not sure what else you'd want to know.
That's fine, Jim. Thank you. Now, are you a programmer yourself, or how does one start creating an accessible game?
Like I said, I started out on a Texas Instruments 99-4A, and I typed in the example source code and just started playing with it and figuring out what it did. And I ended up creating a lot of error codes for a long time until I started figuring things out, and that's just how I taught myself how to. I'm just a self-taught programmer. I've never taken any programming courses except for that one brief one in high school in 1974. Just over the years, keep finding examples and experimenting with them and figuring out what things do. And, of course, asking for help, like David Greenwood's helped me and a lot of other blind programmers. We share source code and help people out, you know, when we can, stuff like that.
Oh, great. I know you want to demonstrate some games shortly, but let's see if Kelly Sapergia, my friend from Canada, who himself is very active in this business of accessible games, let's see if Kelly has a question. Kelly, let us know if you do, please.
Okay. Just want to say hi to Jim, and I also want to say that I really enjoy your games. I see on your site that you have a couple of versions of games for Windows. You have the ones that use the SAPI or SAPI 5 voices, and then there's also some that use just sounds from Windows, meaning human speech for the prompts and stuff. What do you prefer as far as designing a game?
When I first started doing games for Windows, I didn't, you know, the only way I knew of to do it was using recorded speech. So that's why Mach 1 and Casino and Golf and Pong started out with recorded speech. I think the only ones that are still up there with recorded speech are Mach 1 and Pong, and I'm just going to leave those the way they are. But it's much, much easier and quicker to develop games with SAPI 5 because you don't have to record all the speech wave files and edit them and try to piece them together so that it talks in some way that sounds okay. The SAPI 5 engine just works out much better. And hi, Kelly. How you doing?
I'm doing really well there, Jim. A little bit tired today for some reason, but I blame that on the weather. Alright, that's good. And what is your favorite game? If there was one game that you had to say was your absolute favorite, what one would that be?
That's a tough question, Kelly. It's generally the game I'm working on presently. And right now I'm working on an aerial dogfight game. But I do like the live-action games like Homer on a Harley, Pong, Mach 1. But I don't know, not always up for those. I like playing some of the casino games or board games, sports games. It's just different mood, different game, you know?
Jim, were board games the first games you started out with? What were some of your first games that you started making accessible to us?
The first games I made accessible were probably some of the casino games, like the blackjack and five-card draw poker. But then the next ones would have been board games like Life.
Generally, how long does it take to create, to make a game accessible? How long do you work on it to get it done?
I'm sorry, I can't really give you an answer on that. A lot of it is just pre-planning, thinking about the game or finding the sound files or, you know, it's not all just writing the code. A lot of it is thinking how you want things to be and everything like that. But it's months and months, but I couldn't really give you an exact thing. And different games, you know, Monopoly took me a long time because there's so much to it. Mach 1 took me a long time because that was the first live-action Windows game I ever did, so it's kind of just different for every game.
Let's see if Kelly has another question, or I'll continue.
I can't think of any other questions at the moment there, Bob.
No problem. Jim, I know that you wanted to demonstrate some games, and I'm sorry I missed the rehearsal. I was out of town. But I'll follow your lead here. Would you like to demonstrate a game and let us see how it sounds?
I could definitely do that. Do you have any suggestions, or should I just go for something?
I'll follow your lead. You just choose the game and let it. We'd certainly like to hear how you do it, how you set it up, and so forth. And so we'll follow your lead.
What's happening? Did we lose him? It's Rosie.
Okay, I don't know why I'm not locking down. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, let me try locking it down once more and see if that'll work this time. Okay, I think I've got it locked down now. Can you hear me?
Is Jim correct for your name? Yes. Jim, do you wish to use this voice? Yes. Jim, select power indicator sound files. Jim, would you like to read the instructions? No. Jim, would you like to read the special key instructions? No. Jim, would you like to read the hints? No. Select 2. Use ball washer. Select 1. Golf course.
I had already started the golf game, so I'm at it now, and I'm going to start on the...
Please pick a course to play. Amateur Green Grass Country Club rating 65. Jim, you're at hole number 1, distance 501 yards, par 5. On your left is deep grass. On your right is Chris. Next to the green is a Bond and Day sand trap. Select your club. 1 to 9 for rams, 1 to 4 for woods, or PW for pitching wedge. 1.
I'm going to choose a 1 wood.
Select wood.
And then listen for the sound.
Shot went 284 yards. It's 218 yards from the green, and is 30 yards offline in the fairway. Select your club. 1 to 9 for rams, 1 to 4 for woods, or PW for pitching wedge. 3. Select. Win.
I think I'll use a 3 iron.
And. Shot went into 8 on penalty stroke catest. Shot went 0 yards. It's 218 yards from the green, and is 0 yards offline in the fairway. Select your club. 3. Select. Win. And.
I'm going to try it again.
Shot went 210 yards. You are on the green 40 feet from the pin. Press any key when you are ready to putt. Press the space bar to putt.
Well, that's nice.
Hey, boss, keep up the good work. Jim, your score on hole one was 5. Total time so far is 5. Your current score is 5. Press any key to continue.
So anyways, I accidentally got started off in the golf game.
Jim, you're at hole number 2. Select. Save and exit game. Return to game.
I'm going to exit this game.
Select
and...
your thumb. 1 to 9 for Ryan, 1 to 4 for Woods, or PW for pitching wedge. Select. Save and exit game. Return to game. Exit program. Thank you for playing PC Golf by Jim Kitchen.
Welcome to the Kitchen game. Arrow.
And this is my... This is the Kitchen thing. Exit. Kitchen Sink game menu program that if you download the winkit.zip file and run the setup exe, it will install this Kitchen Sink menu where you can then choose the game that you want to play and it'll launch any of the games.
Baseball. Batting. Battleship. Braille. Brain. Casino. Concentration. Casino. Concentration. Football. Golf. Golf course maker. Hangman, Homer, Ladders, Life, Mastermind, Monopoly, Puppy One, Breeder, Simon, Skunk, Spanker, Stardew, Trivia, Trucker, Waiver, Yahtzee, Exit, Baseball, Casino. Welcome to the Kitchen Sink Casino. Which game would you like to play? Blackjack.
Nothing to do. I bought me a six-pack and I came to see you. I've been hearing some stories. I wonder if they're true. Well, take off your dress, show me your new tattoo.
Welcome to the Blackjack table. Would you like to read the instructions? Yes. No. Do you want to read the specialty instructions? Yes. No. Press the number 1 through 6 for the number of decks of cards that you wish to choose. Okay. Please wait while I shuffle the cards. Okay, let's play. Bet. 1-0-0. Your two cards are Jack, 7. You have 17. Killer has an 8. Showing. Hit. Yes. Your three cards are Jack, 7. Ace. You have 18. Hit. Yes. No. Dealer's two cards are 10. 8. Dealer has 18. A push. You now have $2,000.
Boy, I'm sorry, Jim, I got knocked out, but I'm here now. That's terrific. It's very clear instructions. So you're saying, though, that there's a setup thing that you can download and set up, and it'll then all your games will be accessible to us. You have to do that first. Is that correct?
Press E to exit or any other key to return to the game.
Hold on 1 second, please.
At this table, you started with 2,000 game saved. Which game would you like to play? Blackjack. Exit casino. Thank you for visiting the Kitchen Sink Casino. Come back soon. Welcome to the Kitchen Sink Games. Use the up and down arrow keys, or press the first letter of the game, then press enter to play that game. Exit.
I'm sorry, Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry, I was having a little problem there. I'm sorry, what was your question?
I was asking, is there's a batch file then or whatever that you have to install first in order to reach all the games. Is that correct?
It's not a batch file. The winkit.zip, in there's a setup exe. It creates the Kitchen Sink folder and installs a game menu program. And so that game menu program, it's not a batch file. It's actually a executable program. And it just will launch the rest of the games and then return back to that game menu after you exit each game.
Okay. Oh, great. Kelly, do you have any question? I'm going to see if Jim will do a football game. That's something I'm really familiar with. But let's see if Kelly has a question.
Don't really know if I've got any questions. Actually, yeah. I don't personally use Windows Vista, but I know that there are some people out there that do. Have you... Does the WinKit program work well with that system?
I am not running Vista. Apparently the WinKit setup will run. The rest of my games are in self-extracting zip files And apparently Vista doesn't like that too much. You have to run them as administrator to get the self-extracting zip files to install the rest of the games. And I'm not sure about some of the other... Some people are having a lot of luck running my games in Vista, and others, I guess, are having some trouble. But I'm still running XP myself.
Can I ask a question? This is Barbara Bransky. I tried to download one of your games, a trivia game, and I had all kinds of problems. I had no idea where to download WebKit or whatever that is, and then it said you can't do anything unless you have DirectX. I don't even know what that is. Can you explain?
Let's see. The WinKit, like I said, that creates the Kitchen Zinc folder, and if you don't do that one first, it's not listed in the programs. You know how you do the left Windows key and then arrow through the different program files, and you would find Kitchen Zinc after you run the setup in the WinKit.zip. I'm pretty sure that all computers ship with DirectX. My games need version 8.1 or better, and I could definitely tell you how to check that, but I would guess that you actually already have it.
Okay, if I do have it, where do I get this WinKit kit? Is it on the site? Do you just download it?
Yes, and it's the first link on my free Windows text-to-speech games page, and it's WinKit.zip, and you just download it, and then you have to open it in, like, WinZip, and press S, you'll be on setup.exe, and then press Enter, and just follow all the prompts from that, and that will get you all started with the Kitchen Zinc games.
And I was just going to say that the zip file will work in any program that supports zip files, and I think Windows XP also has something that you can use to open it up and then just copy whatever you want to a temporary spot on your hard drive or something like that, but that's essentially how it works. You just extract the zip file, run the program, and install the program, and then put the games on and then have fun.
You say just extract a zip file. I don't even know where zip files are.
Unfortunately, Barbara, we don't have time to do a particular training, but the release is out. Pat's given contact information. I'm sorry, this thing's acting up on me here. And please go there and talk and get a hold of Jim, because he will talk you through these things. I know from experience, and he's very understanding. That's what I would do. Jim, would you mind trying a football game and see what it sounds like, what the instructions are?
Let me turn the microphone around and try to lock this thing down, and I'll try football for you, okay?
Sounds good.
Baseball. Football. This is a Super Bowl week of Jim's NFL football. Today's game is round 16, and 0 versus the 49ers 8-8. Getting saved game. Hit select the play for your offense. 1. Line plunge.
Oops, I'm already in a game.
It's your ball on your 20-yard line. It's first down and 10 yards to go. Hit select the play for your offense. 1. Line plunge. 2. End run. 3. Screen pass. 4. Short pass. 5. Long pass. 6. Field goal. 7. Punt. 8. Save game. 1. Line plunge. The Browns raid the huddle. Dot on air is under center. Top 1. Top 2. Left 4. Top 5. Dot on air gets the snap from center. The handoff is to Green. Green runs straight up the middle. And there is a big pileup. There is a loss of 3 yards on the play. It's your ball on your 17-yard line. It's second down and 13 yards to go. It's select the play for 2, 3, 4. Short pass. 3. Screen pass. The Browns break the huddle. Dot on air is up to the line. Top 1. Top. Top. 5. Dot on air takes the ball. She looks right and left. Dot on air throws an end over and wobbler. Duran catches it out of bounds. There is no gain on the play. It's your ball on your 17-yard line. It's third down and 13 yards to go. It's select the play for your 8. Save game. Game save. Thank you for playing NFL football version of the Jim. Welcome to the Jensen Games. Use the up and down arrow keys, or press the first letter of the game, then press enter to play that game.
Sorry about that. I didn't realize I had a saved game going there. Was that enough of a little demonstration?
That was terrific. I mean, they had the band. You could hear the players hitting each other. You really try to make it authentic. That's just wonderful, Jim. Thank you. Okay, let's open it up to some questions from our audience. Some of you probably have all these games and have particular questions if we can. So please give your name and ask Jim a question.
John Bull, you're in Townsend, Massachusetts. Jim, apparently you have upgraded the football game from what I just heard. There seems to be a lot more to it than the last version. And I know you have the baseball game. Now, us that want to upgrade the games, would we have to go through the same procedure to get all the games where we've already got all the other games and whatnot, or is there an easy way to put those games, the upgrades, into the regular setup?
Hi, John. How you doing? Since you already have the Kitchen Zinc folder and everything, and all you have to do is download the newest version and run it, it will install the files just right over top of the old versions, and you'll be good to go.
Okay, because I did try to do that with the baseball game and have run into a problem, but I'll get a hold of you on that later.
Okay, it sounds easy, though, and let's hope it works for, and John will get the answer there when he talks to Jim. I just like how authentic it is, the sounds. You know, he really gets a crowd into it, and it makes you think like you're at a football game. I'm sure baseball's the same way. We'll have to hear that a little later as well. Let's see if there are any more questions, please.
Yeah, it's Kelly Spurgia here. I was just wondering, Jim, I know you said that you've got a flight simulator or air combat simulator in the works there. Are you planning on working on or coming out with any new sports games sometime?
I don't know of any other sports that I plan on doing. I just don't know how I would do a basketball, hockey, soccer. I'm not sure what other sports I have. Baseball, football, golf, table tennis, car racing, Evel Knievel motorcycle jumping, if those are sports. And some of the other games I'm probably not going to mention right now if they're sports or not, but what did you have in mind?
Oh, really, just anything, although I was wondering about a basketball game. And while I've got the mic, I just wanted to say that homer on a Harley game, that is a lot of fun. I especially like the sounds that you put in there for, you know, when you if you do things like, you know, crash and the various things and whatnot. That just gets me laughing every time.
Jim, that would be an interesting thing to know, if you can give us any indication or ideas as to how you do incorporate all these different sounds. And, like your baseball game, or at least the old version, I hope the new version continues this way, you have commercials, which are pretty cool. How do you go about doing all this? Is there a small explanation that you can give us?
Never throw away a sound file. No, seriously, I've just, ever since I got started connecting to BBSs, I've never thrown away a sound file. And I've bought CDs of sound files. People send me sound files. A friend of mine set me up with a robot to scarf sound files off of the old news groups. And then, you know, so I use Goldwave to edit them to how I want them. And then the rest of it's, you know, within the, I program in Visual Basic 6 and use DirectX through Visual Basic 6 to play the sound files. And it just gives you a lot of abilities for volume and panning and just doing all kinds of fun things with the sound files.
Jim, one sport I thought of, have you ever thought of doing bowling? Is that possible?
The only thing is that I've always tried not to create free games of games that other people are trying to sell, and there is a 10 Pin Alley game that is for sale, so, you know, I've always just tried not to undercut other people's sales of games.
That sounds very fair. Okay, are there any other questions, please? Let me ask this, we certainly want to ask this one. Where do you see the future of accessible games? Is it going to get better? Kelly has a program on gaming and such in one of the chat rooms. Is it great ahead, or are you the final guy doing this? I mean, you did such a great job for us.
I think it's only going to get better. I mean, when I first started, that was one of the main reasons I started doing it, is because when I got my first talking computer, I was just frustrated. There weren't games to play. There wasn't much to do with the computer. So I had to start writing games that I wanted to play. So back then it was like me and one other company. That was PCS Games, Phil Vlazak and Carl. I'm sorry, I forget Carl's last name right now. But there are a lot of people doing games now, and a lot of very good ones. A couple of great sites to go to if you're looking for games is still Phil Vlazak's PCSGames.net. He keeps up to date on all the games. And another site is AudioGames.net. And everybody has a few free games. David Greenwood has a few great free games, but most of the other games, you know, people are trying to sell.
Yeah, Jim, this is Kirby, and I love your games, too. I like the baseball. One thing I noticed about the baseball is I like the hit-and-run feature you just added recently, and that's good. But I did notice, even though you hit-and-run sometimes, I've hit ground balls, and it's, for some reason, it's still hitting a double play. Seems to me when you hit-and-run, you shouldn't be hitting into a double play, or is that something that just isn't fixable, or are you aware of that, or I was just wondering, because I see there's a runner first or something, and I want to run so I can stay out of the double play, but somehow I still get into a double play for some reason.
Hi, Kirby. Nice to meet you. I did lower the percentage of chance that you're going to hit into a double play, but, I mean, even still in the real game, maybe I should lower it even more, but even in the real game, sometimes a hit and run, if you hit the ball to the wrong spot on the field, it's still a double play.
Lou, I've seen you trying to talk and to ask a question. Make sure your microphone is connected to your computer and your volume is set. And if you still can't get in, go ahead and put it up in text chat. Hit F8, type in your question, press enter, and then I'll read it a little later on. All right, Rob, go ahead.
Thank you, Fred. Good evening, Jim. Rob Hancock from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, along with my wife, Sherry Hancock. Would you tell us the website? I know most people here know it, but for those people who are listening, through the archives, who may not necessarily know your website, can you tell us what that is, please?
Hi, Robert and Sherry, how you doing? Okay, it's www.kitchensinc.net. That's KitchenSinc.net.
Hi, Jim. My name is Joni Leonard, and I'm wondering if you have any card games like Solitaire available?
Hi, Joni. Nice to meet you. No, the only card games I have would be Blackjack and Five Card Draw Poker.
Oh, well, they both sound good, too. Thank you.
Okay, Joni, that's in my casino pack of games. There's the file name is wincas2.exe. It's on the SAPI 5 text-to-speech games page. In that, you get blackjack, draw poker, a slot machine, a roulette wheel, and craps.
Errol.
Could we hear a roulette wheel and then one of the
card games. Blackjack, I guess. Could we hear those, Jim?
I can give it a try. You want me to do that now?
Please.
Hi, I'd just like to jump in here and say that the person that wanted the solitaire game, David Greenwood, has a free one at his site, gmagames.com, I think it is. And you can get that for free. It's one of his free games.
Casino. Welcome to the Kitchen Sink Casino. Which game would you like to play? Blackjack. Craps. Draw poker machine. Slot machine. Roulette wheel. Welcome to the roulette wheel. Would you like to read the instructions? Yes. No. Would you like to read the specialty instructions? Yes. No. Please select the type of bet that you wish to make. High low that pays 1-to-1. Even or odd bet pays 1-to-1. Red or black bet pays 1-to-1. A single number bet pays 35-to-1. Three numbers, a straight bet pays 11-to-1. 12 numbers bet pays 2-to-1. Column bet pays 2-to-1. 0 or 0 that pays 36-to-1. Finished placing bets. High low that pays 1-to-1. Even or odd bet. Red or black bet. Red or black bet pays 1-to-1. Plus 1 for red. 2 for black. 2. You have $500. Please enter your bet. 1. 0. Please select the type of bet that you... Red or black bet. A single number that pays 35. A single number that pays 35-to-1. Please enter a number between 1 and 3. You have $400. Please enter your bet. 1-0. Please select the type of bet that you wish to make. High low. Finish placing bets. Okay, let's rip the wheel spin. Your winning number is 5. Odd. Black. Your red or black bet of $100. And black wins $100. You now have $519. Press any key. Your single number becomes 15 and loses $10. Press any key. You now have $519. Press any key to exit, or to replay the same bet, or any other key to continue. E. At the store where you started with $500, you now have $519. Would you like to save this game? Yes. Game saved. Which game would you like to play? Blackjack. Welcome to the Blackjack table. Would you like to read the instructions? Yes. No. Do you want to read the specialty instructions? Yes. N. Press the number. 1 through 6. 7 up 2. Okay. Please wait while I shuffle the cards. Okay, let's play. Bet. 1-0-0. Your two cards are 4-2. You have 6. Dealer has a 5. Showing. Hit. Yes. Your two cards are 4-2. You have 6. Hit. Yes. Your three cards are 4-2-9. You have 15. Hit. Yes. Dealer has a 5. Showing. Hit. Yes. No. Dealer's two cards are 9-5. Dealer has 14. Dealer's three cards are 9-5. Queen. Dealer has 24. Dealer busted. You win. You now have $2,100. At the store where you started with $2,000, you played one hand. You now have $2,100. Originally, you started with $500. You have played 16 hands. Would you like to save this game? Yes. Game saved. Which game would you exit to see? Thank you for visiting the Kitchen Sink Casino. Come back soon. Welcome to Kitchen Sink Games. Use the up hand down arrow keys, or press the first letter of the game, then press enter to play that game. Exit.
So that was a little bit about how the casino goes.
That's great. Thanks.
Hi, this is Barbara, Jim. Are all your games free, or do you sell some also?
No, all of my games are totally free. I've never asked for anything for any of them. I just very much enjoy doing it, you know, as my hobby and sharing them, and appreciate when other people enjoy playing them.
Well, I think that's very generous of you. I'm sure everybody's grateful for that, and I intend to get myself going with your games because they sound like fun.
Well, they definitely are fun. And Jim, this is John again. A while ago you were talking about when Kirby asked you about the hit and run situation, you were talking about turning the percentage. That's very interesting. Now, there was one in the last version of the baseball game where it seemed like a guy on third wouldn't score on a on a fly ball. Have you changed that?
I don't remember changing that. You know, depending on where the fly ball's hit, a man should score from third, but sometimes it doesn't happen. Baseball, you know, stuff will happen.
Yeah, well, I never saw in one of the games that I've played a guy score from third on a fly, and I thought that rather unusual. I do want to say to you, it's so nice to find someone out there willing to take the time and go and do something and not expect something out of it other than the mere factor that they know other people are enjoying it, because I am sure that throughout these years you could have made yourself a pretty penny.
What type of board games do you have, Jim, and could you give us a demo of one that you might think we'd enjoy?
Certainly, Petho. You know, they, like all the games, they take a little while to, you know, go through the setup of them. But let's see if I can remember them all. I've got, let's see, The Game of Life, Monopoly, Yahtzee, Chutes and Ladders. Mastermind. I think that's all the board games. I think we were talking, you wanted to see a little bit of Monopoly, didn't you?
Oh, I'd love that.
I'll see if I can do it.
Hi, Jim. This is Lou Sanders from Arizona. Can you hear me now?
We can. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Whew. Thought I was losing my mind. Real quick, Jim, going back to something you had said earlier, talking about the sound effects, if I remember right, talking to you here a while back, you've even made, made some of your own sound effects. Is that correct?
Hi, Lou. Yeah. The pong ball, the ball sound in pong, I just kind of like made my own synthesized sound, and that came out. And then in the battleship game, that sound when you miss and the missile hits the water, I was dropping a shot glass into a bucket full of water.
Fantastic. That is great. I've been messing with making some sound effects using WavePad. And if I happen to make any that I think you might could use or down the road, would you be interested in them?
Definitely, Lou. I'm always, like I said, I'm always looking for sound files. I never throw any of them away.
Okay, well, if I come up with any that sound like they're, you know, usable or whatever, I'll send them your way.
Cool. I'd appreciate it.
Okay, let's see if I can get this going now. Oops. Geez, that wasn't good.
Mastermind. Monopoly.
Monopoly. Version 8. By Jim Kitchen. Would you like to read the instructions? No. Would you like to read the special key instructions? No. Press a number, 1 to 6, for the number of players. 1. Player. Plus a computer player. Is this correct? Yes. Enter your name. J-I-M. You player number 1 is Jim. Is this correct? Yes. Jim, do you wish to use this voice? Yes. Enter the name of the computer player or press enter. The computer player. Player number 2 is Red Eye. Is this correct? Yes. Should Red Eye the computer player use this voice? Yes. No.
Should Red Eye the computer player use this voice? Yes. No. Should Red Eye the computer player use this voice? Yes. No. Should Red Eye the computer player? No.
Should Red Eye the computer player use this voice? Yes. Gen player number 1. Choose your token. Battleship. Custom. Wheelbarrow. Would you like to give Red Eye player number 2, the computer player, a custom token? Yes. No. Red Eye player number 2. Choose your token. Shoo.
Do you wish to play with money on free parking? Yes. How much would you like to start with on free parking? Select. 1,000. Should there be a choice when you land on chance? No. Should a player collect rent if they are in jail? No. Should there be an auction for a property that is landed on but not bought? Yes. Select the board configuration that you wish to use. Original.
And there's a whole bunch of different choices here.
Yes. San Francisco Sherry.
Wonderful, wonderful boards that all kinds of people have made.
D. Dallas. C. Canada. B. Baseball. currency. Dollar.
Or you can, here you can choose what kind of currency you want to use.
Credit. Custom. Dollar. Select. Houses.
Same thing here.
Custom. Houses. Select. Hotels. Custom. Hotels. Would you like to tour the game board? No. Should we roll the dice to see who goes first? Yes. Okay. The player that rolls the lowest total will go first. GM player number one. You roll A, five, and A, one. For a total of six.
Red eye player number two. You roll A, three, and A, one. For a total of four. Red eye player number two. You go first. Red eye player number two. On go. Select. Roll dice. You roll A1, and A1, for a total of two. You land on community chest. You draw a community chest card. It reads, you have 1 second prize in APD contest. Collect $10. You now have $1,510. Red eye, you roll doubles, so it is still your turn. Red eye, player number two. On community chest. Select. Roll dice. You roll A2, and A2. For a total of four. You land on Oriental Avenue, which is for sale. You may buy Oriental Avenue for $100. You have $1,510. Select buy. Red eye player number two. You're now on Oriental Avenue. You now have $1,410. Red eye, you roll doubles, so it is still your turn. Red eye player number two. On Oriental Avenue. Select roll dice. You roll A2, and A2, for a total of four. Red eye player number two. You roll doubles for the third time. Go to jail.
Go!
Red eye player number two. In jail.
Go!
GM player number one. On go. Select. Roll dice. Check assets. Draw board. Manage properties. Buy, sell, or trade. Save game. Player number one resigns from game. Exit game. Roll dice. Roll A1 and A6 for a total of seven. You land on chance. You draw a chance card. It reads, go back three spaces. You land on income tax. Select, pay $200. Pay 10% of tax. GM player number one, you pay income tax of $150. You now have $1,350.
Red eye player number two, in jail. Select, pay $50 to get out of jail. Red eye player number two, on jail. Just visiting. Select, roll dice. You roll A1, and A5, for a total of six. You land on St. James Place, which is for sale. You may buy St. James Place for $180. You have $1,360. Select, buy. Red eye player number two. You're now on St. James Place. You now have $1,180.
GM player number one. On income tax. Select. Roll dice. You roll A1 and A3 for a total of four. You land on Vermont Avenue, which is for sale. You may buy Vermont Avenue for $100. You have $1,350. Check. Vermont Avenue. One of the three Siam properties. Price $100. The other Siam properties are Oriental Avenue, which is owned by Red Eye Player number two. Connecticut Avenue, which is still for sale. Rent on Vermont Avenue is $6. $30 with one house. $90 with two houses. $270 with three houses. $400 with four houses. And $550 with a hotel. Houses cost $50. Select. Buy. GM player number one. You now own Vermont Avenue. You now have $1,250.
Red Eye player number two. On St. James Place. Select. Roll dice. You roll A2. And A5. For a total of seven. You land on Indiana Avenue, which is for sale. You may buy Indiana Avenue for $220. You have $1,180. Select. Buy. Red eye player number two. You're now on Indiana Avenue. You now have $960.
GM player number one, exit game. Player number one resigns from save game. Game saved. Thank you for playing Monopoly. by Jim Kitchen.
Welcome to Kachensing Games. Use the up hand down arrow keys, or press the first letter of the game, then press enter to play that game. Exit.
So you, there you go, Pat. How was that?
I am impressed. I really am. Never having played a game on a computer, I just had no idea there were anything like this. This is really interesting.
Me not being very proficient at reading Braille, I find it much easier to play board games and whatnot on the computer. It would take me forever to read cards and things like that, you know, if they were all done up in Braille. Plus, it's cheaper this way.
Hi, Jim. Lou again. I have most of your games, and I've been following the releases of Monopoly as you've upgraded it and everything, and I just hadn't gotten it yet because, you know, I like Monopoly, but it just didn't seem to appeal to me at the time. Now, after hearing the demonstration, I'm going to, as soon as I get off here, I'm going to go get Monopoly because that sounded absolutely wonderful.
Your sound effects and just the way you do these things is just wonderful. I'm not really much of a game, well, I haven't been much of a game player, but I'm going to get your games because they sound so wonderful and they sound like so much fun. This is Joni Leonard from New Jersey.
In John, Massachusetts, I'd like to also add that Jim has trivia games.
Thank you very much, Joni. The only thing that I would like to say, though, I have some high-quality voices, some of the AT&T voices, and so that makes them sound a little bit better. The free Microsoft voices don't sound quite the same, but, you know, it's still all free.
Yeah, that's for sure. Jim, I have another text chat question. Lou got in there all right, finally. So, but John Calvin would like to know, is there going to be any new games this year?
I just sent my new, you know, airplane aerial dogfight game out. Right now it's just level one, and people are looking at it. It's going to take me a lot of work to add the continuing levels and stuff like that. But I definitely hope I'll have that out sometime this year.
Jim, this is Joni again. John said something about trivia games. Do you have any music trivia kind of games? Something like a Name That Tune or something like that?
No, I don't have any, Name That Tune type things. What he's talking about is that I made a trivia game engine, and a whole bunch of people have created different trivia files for it. And people use them, like, in teaching and stuff. I mean, teachers will actually use them. They can create the trivia files and use them to test their students. But a lot of people have made and sent me a whole bunch of different trivia files, and some of them are definitely music. That's pretty cool that people make the trivia files. They've made a lot of golf course files for my golf game, made a lot of different board files for my Monopoly game. But probably the closest, and this isn't a Name That Tune, but I have a Simon game, you know, the old Simon game where it plays tunes, and then you have to repeat the tunes by pressing the correct key.
Oh, I loved Simon. Oh, I can't wait to get it. That is wonderful. Thank you.
Well, and please, you know, if you have any trouble installing the games or anything, please call or write anytime, and I'll definitely try to help get you going.
Hi, Jim. This is Pat from Boston. I was wondering, on most of your games, even like the Monopoly game, do you have to have the, for Jaws, if you're a Jaws user, do you have to have the sappy voices installed, or are the games, the voices independent on your games?
Windows XP ships with one voice. It's Sam. But on my text-to-speech games page, it's like the second or third link down, you can get the free Microsoft Mike and Mary. So those are the free ones, and then of course you can always buy the AT&T or ScanSoft or NeoSpeech or Kepstrel. I hope that answered your question.
Hi, I'd like to say that there are a couple other free Sappy 5 voices, Jim, that you didn't mention. On the text-to-speech download guide website, there's the flight voice. It kind of sounds like a double talk voice. The only thing I've noticed is the volume for some reason on that voice is really quite low. I didn't really try raising or lowering it in the games themselves, but maybe that's what I have to do. And also, there was the flight voice. Oh, yeah. There's another free voice called eSpeak. It sounds a little bit like a Braille and speak, but you can edit some files and make it sound a bit better, add more liveliness to the voice if you want to. So eSpeak and Flight are two other free voice options that are SAPI 5.
There's also the EasySpeak voices that came with JAWS 8.0. I believe there's seven or eight voices, and they're all very good, and they're free.
And do my games pick those up okay? I do have the Flight voice. That is kind of unique. That takes you back to the old double talk days.
I think the voices that he's talking about are actually made by ScanSoft. I think they're voices like Tom and Lee and Jennifer and Jill and Samantha. If those are the ones he's mentioning, if not, I think JAWS might have shipped with NeoSpeech, Kate and Paul at one time, but I could be wrong on that. I use those voices, but I bought them from nextup.com. Because I also bought Text Aloud, and they work very good with the games. They're nice and responsive, and they make the game sound very realistic. I especially like playing the football game with ScanSoft Tom. It sounds really good.
Yes, that was the voices I was talking about, the Tom, Jill, Lee, and all those.
May I ask, dude, you know, the ones that do ship with JAWS like that, do my games pick them up okay?
Yes, Jim, yeah, they do. The ScanSoft EasySpeak voices do work very well with your games.
Cool, thanks. I'm kind of running a very old version of JAWS, but it's working for me, so I'm running 4.02, so I just haven't upgraded.
Jim, Lisa Hall has posted a text question. Am I correct that the synthesizer speech engines comes with all of your games? If not, where do you download it from?
No, it does not come with my games at all. My games only use ones that are already installed on your computer. But as I said, Windows XP comes with the SAPI 5 engine, including the Sam voice, and then, you know, there's the free Mike and Mary, and then that other one, Flight, and things like that. But you can find Mike and Mary on my website, as well as if you don't have the SAPI 5 text-to-speech engine already installed, you can find it, the version for 98 and the version for XP, on my website on the free SAPI 5 text-to-speech page. But you would find it under Control Panel Speech, if you had it. But, you know, my games don't come with them. Like I said, my games just use them that are already installed on your computer.
Any other questions?
Jim, you say that these games that are listed in the trivia files of the site aren't yours, but there are several different listings there, from astronauts to computer trivia to auto racing trivia to straight facts, music, and so on and so forth. Did you put them there, or did other people put them there?
I put them on my website, but other people created them and sent them to me, and then I put them up on my website, or as I came out with new versions, I just bundled any of them that I had in with it. But, you know, if the game's up there and I'm not working on a new version and people send me the files, then I collect them and put them up as an add-on.
Okay, because there is music trivia there as well as what Joni was asking earlier. I haven't gone over a lot of it, but like I say, there are several different trivia games in your list that maybe people might be interested in looking at.
John, your mic just went into almost a full static mode. And Lisa Hall is asking, do I get the AT&T voice from NextUp? I know that they're available from NextUp, but there are other places as well. You might shop around.
Jim, you were talking about this dogfight game that you're working on. Is this like in a beta thing right now? Is it something you're developing, or how is that working out?
Yeah, I just kind of got started on it, but I do have it, you know, the title song, and your plane takes off and achieves altitude, and then there's an enemy plane, and you use the arrow keys to fly around and the left control key to shoot at the enemy and shoot them down.
How much control do you have? I mean, the takeoff and landing, is that all like pretty much automatic, or will you be able to kind of get the sense of you're activating whatever it takes to leave the ground or to land or anything like that?
No, like you said, I automated the takeoff and the landing, so mostly you're just doing the flying and shooting. And once either you shoot the enemy down or he shoots you down, it just automatically returns back and does the landing. And like I said, the takeoff is also just automatic.
Wow, this will be fantastic. You know, there's been talk of some kind of flight simulator game for quite a few years now, and the one that was in progress seemed to kind of go by the wayside, I guess. I don't know what happened with it, but I'm looking forward to this coming out, so good luck with that.
Well, I'll tell you, I saw somebody else just come out with one today, too. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing his name, but I believe his name is Munawar. And I'm sorry, I don't have a website. Maybe Kelly knows of it right offhand or something. But he just announced on the Odyssey Gamers list today that, and his is a jet plane dogfight game, whereas mine are prop planes.
Yeah, Moonwar's website is at www.bpcprograms.com. That's, I'll say this phonetically, Bravo Papa Charlie Programs.com. And just in case anyone's curious, I'm actually doing the music for the game at the moment. So, yeah. There you go. Just thought I'd mention that.
You know, I'm telling you, you made me jealous with that that MP3 where you, or the podcast where you played Homer on a Harley. But before you played Homer on a Harley, that was the keyboard and synthesizer and stuff like that. Man, that thing sounded like it was fun.
Oh yeah, it was. Although the intro music wasn't mine, but it's a lot of fun there. I'm actually doing that. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, it's a lot of fun doing that sort of thing.
Of course, I don't have the musical talent to be able to utilize that tool like you do, but it still sounded great.
Hey, Jim, this is Josh, by the way. I was just wondering if maybe you could, in your Puppy One game, I guess if that's what you're going to call it, the automated takeoff and landing, it does sound pretty neat, but do you think maybe you could add an option, like do you want automatic takeoff and landing, or do you want manual takeoff and landing? That way, you know, people could take off and land, and if they don't do it right, you hear the sound of the plane crashing or something like that, or spinning out, or, you know, spinning around or something.
That sounds like a pretty good idea. I'll definitely give that some thought. I know that when I still had a little bit of sight and I had a Microsoft Flight Simulator that I could see a little bit, you know, taking off is pretty much automatic. You just rev your engines up and take off down the runway, and as long as you have your flaps down, you'll just take off. But now the landing, that is very problematic. It is very tough to get lined up correctly in a straight line so that you land going down the runway. Easy to land going across it and whatnot, but that doesn't work so good. But that's the thank you for the idea. I'll keep that in mind, and might that make that an option in the game.
I thought of something for the landing. You really wouldn't have to, I don't think you'd have to make it as complicated as Microsoft Flight Simulator in order for it to be fun. Maybe what you could do is, for the landing, you could set like a certain point on the runway that maybe you have to come back to in order to land. And then when you're near that point, you hear like a high-pitched beeping sound, like a beep, 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 beep. And then you have to, and then that constant beeping, you have to center in your speaker before you, I don't know, let's say page up and page down, or for takeoff and landing or something like that. And then, you know, you just land that way.
I could try that, but see, the only thing is, this isn't actually like a flight simulator, so that would be kind of a problem. This is just more of a arcade-style dogfight game. I don't, you know, in a flight simulator, you would have altitude and things like that, and I have no readings of altitude, so, and that would kind of be a thing. You would kind of have to, for landing, you'd have to know what your altitude was so that, you knew if you should be climbing or diving to come down to the runway. So that's, you know, originally I had thought about doing that, but that's more getting into a flight simulator if you're going to have to keep track of altitude and things like that.
Not really, because, let's see, if it's an aerial dogfight game, and since takeoff and landing aren't the most important parts of the game, maybe what you could do is kind of like Homer on a Harley, you just, you know, when you land, you really don't need to pay attention to altitude, but all that's really important maybe is hearing the pitch of the plane go down until you, you know, land or hit the ground or something like that. And maybe as far as climbing and diving, maybe in there, like when you begin your descent, you can make something random happen, like it either randomly climbs before it lands or it randomly dives.
And mostly just keep it very simple, just have a targeting sound that you have to kind of steer back towards, right?
Yeah, if you can hear me, yeah. Just keep it really simple. Just, you know, have a targeting sound that you have to steer back towards. Yeah, something like that. Nothing that elaborate.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. You know, like you say, keeping it simple. Since you brought up Homer, I remember when you first came out with Homer, Jim, the first few times I tried to play it, I had, you know, no concept of how the bike, you know, how it ran, and so I would hit the up arrow to get the RPMs up, and right offhand, I can't remember now what I did. Anyway, most of the time I kept flipping over backwards, and finally, you know, understood that you there's a little, you know, you got to hit it just right in order to take off on the bike without crashing yourself.
Right. You don't want to get your RPM up too high before you shift it in gear, because that's what flips it over backwards. But I had to kind of like ride a drive through. A lot of people crashed a lot of motorcycles before they kind of got the hang of that one, and I'm still crashing it, but that's half the fun.
That's right. It's not always fun being the winner. Sometimes it can be fun being the loser.
Speaking of that, that's, for example, in Trucker. I remember playing that one time, and I'm going down the road, and it's snowing, and so I figured I had slowed down enough to, you know, you're supposed to slow down whenever you're in a snowstorm or rain or whatever. And, of course, a lot of that is just by, you know, it's nothing you have any control over. But when the truck wrecked and I lost the game, you know, I was kind of like bummed out. But it's still fun, you know. I mean, that is, things like that are just fantastic that blind people are able to do now on the computer. It's wonderful, and thanks to you, Jim, for giving us a lot of this.
Boy, and do I second that. And yeah, Trucker was actually my real first introduction to computers, and mainly to see if I would be able to function using a computer and whatnot. And the instructor gave us the Trucker game to see how we manipulated around and whatnot, and That darn state of Pennsylvania will get you all the time if you're not careful in that trucker game. I know just exactly what you mean.
I'm curious. I believe, Jim, I saw on your website that you do have DOS games. Is there much demand for those, maybe in some of the developing countries or maybe even here in the United States?
I don't know how much demand there are for them, but, you know, I started out writing the DOS games, and I've converted every one of them now to a Windows version. And, you know, for most people, the Windows versions are much better because I can do so much more with the sounds in Windows and everything. The only reason that I leave those up there is I think possibly people with hearing difficulties that do have a Braille display, they can still use the DOS versions because my DOS games put text on the screen. My Windows games do not put anything on the screen. It's all done with sounds and the speech.
Oh, that makes sense. Thank you for that explanation.
Hello, Jim. Thanks for all this. Does your games work as well in surround sound as well as...
I'm sorry, I can't answer that. I don't have a surround sound card, or if I do have a surround sound card, I don't have surround sound speakers for it. I'm just in stereo here. I did also want to say, though, a lot of the games, you know, games by nature, I use a lot of random things. So just, you know, a lot of random things happen in the trucker game as well as in a lot of the other games. And I did also want to say, I know some people here know, I did not write the original trucker game. There was a version out called Big Rig that I don't think on purpose, but it was accessible, and a lot of people played that before I found the source code and added the sounds to it. It was originally just a pure text game, and I've added the sounds to it and since converted it from a DOS game to a Windows game. And the same with the golf game. I found the source code for the golf game and added sounds and have modified that a lot. That was also originally a pure text game, and you actually just entered the power of the swing, whereas in my version you had that indicator sound to determine how hard you want to hit the ball. And then all the other games, though, I wrote from scratch. Those were the only two that I kind of just borrowed.
Yeah, Jim, I'd just like to say, I think, you know, the randomness in the games, I think, you know, that's a pretty cool idea. And others have commented that, well, you know, it would make it more real if you'd use, you know, physics and stuff like that. But a lot of your games, you know, they work good the way they are. So I think, you know, for the Puppy One program, if you make, you know, like a simple automated and a simple, like, manual takeoff and landing and have some random stuff happen, like maybe you don't take off successfully every time, or maybe you have it where you crash sometimes when you land and other times you don't crash. You know, just simple stuff like that would, I think, make the game a lot more fun. And, oh, I don't know, maybe some different possibilities that can happen when you crash, like you could crash and, like, the plane lands flat, or, like, it lands, or it goes into, like, a nosedive, or it lands on the tail of the plane, or something, or, oh, I don't know, maybe you could even have it, like, crash in water or something like that, or crash in the snow or crash on a glacier or something. That'd be fun to hear.
Yeah, the only problem with some of that stuff is that, you know, I do try to keep my game small because, you know, bandwidth costs money and stuff like that, and people that might still be on dial-up and stuff, I do try to keep my game files small, you know, just for the cost of the bandwidth for my website and stuff like that. And I also wanted to mention, now, like I said, this is why I was mentioning that I did not write the original trucker game, but on the northern route, it's just past Cleveland. You have to be careful because there's always a radar trap right there, right before the Pennsylvania border.
Yeah, I noticed that one, too.
That's just plain sneaky, Jim.
Like I said, I didn't write it, but there is a state highway patrol just north of me, and that's probably what it's all about.
You say that you have an auto racing game. Is that like for international or racing, or is that like a drag racing?
It's kind of, I don't know. There are oval tracks and tri-oval tracks, so that you can pretend it's NASCAR. But there are other ones with left and right turns, so that can be more the Indy style or the Formula One style. Some of them are just real easy. Other ones you have to use the brakes and downshift and upshift and stuff like that. We did have international tournaments with them for years where Hugo would pick which track and how many laps, and then we'd like have a day to try to get our best time and send him the scores, and he would compile them, and we had competition for quite a few years, but we kind of gave that up. Now, the Mach 1 is my car racing game, and my game of Pong, which, you know, was the original video game, those are on my free Windows games page because they use recorded speech. They don't use the Sappy 5 text-to-speech engine.
Well, all I can say about the Pennsylvania area and the trucker is 10-4, good buddy.
Hey, Jim, it's Mike Fair. Hope you can hear me. I just got one question about Puppy 1. Is it going to be one of your Windows self-voicing games with the access through the menu with the Sappy speech, or are you going to do human recording for that?
No, it's going to be Sappy 5, but there's so far not a whole lot of speech to it. Just the main menu where you either deploy your number one aircraft, exit the game, repeat your score. The only other speech in it is the your score for that round. There is just a tiny, tiny bit of other speech. Just as you're about to overtake the enemy, he talks to you. And if you do overtake him, he comes up behind you and he speaks again. But that's about the only, there's not going to be a whole lot of speech to the game.
And is this going to be you against one other plane, or are you going to have multiple enemies in different levels?
So far in level one, there's only one other enemy. That's what's going to be the other levels. Like level two, there will be two enemies, then there will be three enemies, something like that. And right now, you're just chasing him and shooting at him. And I'm thinking maybe in some other level, I'll have him flying at you and shooting at you. So, how's it going, Mike?
Pretty good. Yeah, working away. Just about finished this whole guide project. So that's being hammered at as we speak. And got some editing people looking over my draft and waiting for feedback. So it's on the final leg. Should have it out, I'm thinking, mid-June at the latest. And hopefully that'll get some more people interested in gaming eventually.
That sounds great, Mike. I know you've been working on that for quite a while and had some different things happening and everything. So that's going to be great.
Well, I'm just glad there's someone like you pumping out all these games I can just direct novices towards and get them started. I mean, that's a huge help, just giving them somewhere to they can just get these games and have something fun to do on their machines and not have them thought of as just work tools, you know?
Mm-hmm, and it's Kelly Spurge again, and I was actually playing Jim's trivia game while you're talking there. Got through the Star Wars trivia game. Just had a question about the Monopoly game there, Jim. I noticed that there are a couple of Harry Potter boards. There's Harry Potter, I think, 1 and 2. I'm just wondering what the difference is between those. I was playing the 1, but I haven't tried the other one yet.
And Kelly, there's actually a couple of more that Paul created. It's Harry Potter characters and Hogwarts. And I'm sorry, other people have created. I haven't played every single board. I'm sorry, I can't really tell you what the differences would be. You just kind of have to, you know, like when you start the game, you can choose a board, and it asks if you want to tour the board. You can just tour the board. And then they'll ask you if you want to play with that board or not. And if you like it, you can say yes. If not, you can take a look at another one. And Mike, you know, like I said, it was wonderful that you started the Odyssey magazine so many years ago and actually created like a gamer's family where we keep together and bounce ideas and talk about games and everything.
We've all certainly come a long way since that point, haven't we? It's been quite a ride over the past number of years, that's for sure. And you've been an excellent part of that, just making all these games for people and not charging a thing and pumping it out there. I think that's probably saved the industry from the lags between the times when these commercial developers can pump out their games. You know, at least there's been some other free games to stimulate conversation.
Well, I try, you know, but yes, we definitely have come a long way, you know. I mean, when we started, the only things that were kind of some of the text games and some of the BBS store games and stuff like that, but so many people are creating great games, you know.
Hey, Jim, I thought of something. I have a game on here, and it's for DOS, and it's a text adventure game called Island. And I wonder, I don't have the source code for it, though. I found it on the Infocom site, and one of my friends had it, like, back in 1990 when I was, like, 8 or 9 years old, and I still remember playing it. And, well, I guess without the source code, it'd be pretty hard, but it'd be kind of neat if that text adventure game could be made into, like, a Windows Zappy 5 text adventure game thing, because that was a pretty fun game. It was, I don't remember who made it. I'd have to go into it and look and see.
Yeah, there's so many DOS games like that out there, though. That would keep Jim busy for ages doing other people's creations and sort of making them in Windows. Like I've got one called Fall Through that I'd love to see made, but again, it would be so hard to reconstruct without the source code that it'd probably take quite a lot of effort and time to pull something like that off.
And maybe either Mike or Kelly could. Didn't somebody make a Zappy 5 version that will play the Infocom games and a lot of those text adventure games like that? It, you know, kind of takes the old DOS versions and makes them Windows Zappy 5 playable?
Yeah, it's Winfrot's TTS is what you're thinking of there, Jim. The only problem with that is it's limited to certain types of games. You got all these interactive fiction games written in different languages. And if you get games like some of the standalone games that are basically programs in and of themselves that aren't interactive fiction, really, they're not. You don't need an interpreter to play them. You just run the program. Then you're dealing with a whole different story. Like the island game, I think the fellow there was talking about, is a self-contained program. It was a text adventure made from scratch, as opposed to using one of these interactive fiction languages like Inform or TADS. So it won't use an interpreter, and hence you'd have to really get the source code to even get the text to then bake into a Windows version.
Plus, we like games with sound effects, right?
Absolutely, and I personally would love to see more action games from you there, Jim. that fighter thing's going to be neat.
I want to do more action games like that too, but, you know, people kind of keep me busy sometimes asking me to upgrade the other games and stuff, but I'm having a lot of fun with Puppy One, and certainly had a lot of fun making Homer on a Harley. So that's and I'm hoping eventually to put joystick support in this Puppy One.
Oh, cool.
Jim, I just think it's an amazing thing that you have given us this opportunity, because let's face it, gaming is a big thing in this world of ours today, whether you're sighted or blind, and you've kind of made it possible for blind people to feel, so we say, as good as the sighted. They're always out there playing their games. Yeah, we don't have some of the crazy things that they have, but some of them I wouldn't want. But you've definitely given us an opportunity to have games and do games. In fact, you even mentioned a while ago you even have a few small kid games in here, and I have sat with my granddaughters and played. So you've made it very nice for all of us, and I certainly want you to know how much I appreciate it. And just think, you could be a millionaire today, but you're a kind-hearted man, and we really appreciate what you've done for us.
And I think, this is Kirby, I think the neat thing about these games is you have to depend on your hearing. So if a sighted person would did want to play these games. It'd be kind of interesting to see how they would handle that, because I don't think there's anything on the screen telling them what to do. I think it's all hearing. I know what the baseball and the Mach 1 and the things that you have to depend on your hearing for, like the baseball, for example, hearing the pitch when the pitch goes from one speaker to the other, and you got to be able to know when to hit the ball and all that. You have to have good hearing to be able to do that.
Yeah, I second that. My girlfriend, actually, one of the first things I had her try when she was just visiting me for the first time was Audio Pong, Jim Kitchen's Pong, just as a simple audio game that she could try, and she's still blown away by that. She'll have me demonstrate it to her friends and everything, and just is absolutely flabbergasted that there's nothing at all on the screen, and the only way she can concentrate is to close her eyes. Otherwise, she's, as a sighted person, distracted because of any, you know, just things in the room, right? All the stuff in any given room you might be in. You know, I was downstairs in the family room, so there's a zillion and one things for her to look at, and it would distract her from the auditory information going into her ears.
Yeah, sighted people, they don't know what to think when they can't see anything. But hey, it's good for, like I said, playing games with my granddaughter. She had to concentrate and listen. And that's very good for a kid.
Yeah, my wife is sighted, and she really doesn't get into my games, but I have heard of other sighted people who do get very interested in checking out the game. So it's, you know, and especially when a game has a lot of great sound effects and whatnot, it really makes it attractive.
Well, maybe one of the best ways of learning to use a computer is knowing how to maneuver these games, but it's another way of seeing with sound, probably. I don't know if that's a good term, but I think so.
Yeah, I've really advocated for that in my guide, Personal Power, because that's the one thing that I think a lot of teachers and trainers in the blind community overlook, that, you know, these games, like, there's no better way of overcoming intimidation by technology. If you get these people who are really afraid of computers and what if I hit the wrong button, what happens, just get them playing a game so they don't even realize they're using a computer. They're so wrapped up in what they're doing. And before you know it, they'll be learning how to use the computer because they're comfortable with it. It's not the enemy anymore. It's a friend. It's fun, you know? It's a really powerful thing. I've been fortunate enough to be able to help a number of people with that, with a lot of Jim's games and other free games and commercial games out there, to just realize that, hey, you know, it's not all, doesn't have to be all work. Doesn't have to be you against the machine, you know?
Well, that's how I was trained, and I was an adult at the time. And it was with Jim's trucker game. And So I know where you're coming from. And again, Jim, and I'm probably going to just sit back and listen from here on. But thank you very much for all that you have done. And I will definitely be in touch with you. And this is John in Massachusetts. And it's really been a pleasure and an enjoyable thing. And sorry if I got you into something, but I was the one that mentioned to Pat, you gotta have Jim Kitchen in here. And she very graciously went out and got you.
Well, you're very welcome, John, and thank you very much. I'm glad you're enjoying it, you know. I'm not sure what else to say, but you're welcome, and thank you.
Thanks, Jim from Gary in Michigan, and thanks for creating these games that help us use our imagination to the best we can.
Hey, Jim, Lou here. Yeah, I have to say, I'm 46 now, and I started using a computer in 1999, so, you know, relatively kind of new to it. And I would have to say that your games helped me a lot with learning the keyboard and getting comfortable with the computer, you know, and learning my way around. And so, yeah, as everybody else has said, you've done a great service to blind people everywhere, and thank you very much.
You're welcome, Lou. And it's very nice to hear this. I didn't, you know, of course, when I started with the games and stuff, I just love games, and I didn't realize that they were going to be a teaching training tool. But boy, it sure is nice that it works out that way.
Yeah, we never know what we do when we wave that sorcerer's wand, eh, Jim? I mean, yeah, I had no idea my magazine would be in Russia being used by some librarian to teach English either. It's amazing. You try to do some good, and it spreads beyond all control and reason, and look where we end up years later, eh?
I have also really loved the games. This is Rosanna Hosteller from Illinois. But yeah, I really love them too. You got any new ones on just recently?
The last one that I put up was Monopoly version 8, and before that it was Homer on a Harley. Very nice to meet you.
I really like the Monopoly. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is one kick-ass party game. Just to be able to have that and have, like, number of players at once and just go for a game like that, yeah, that is absolute fun.
Yeah, this is Kirby. I've been getting into that Skunk game lately. That's really a neat game, too. Friend of mine turned me on to that. I wasn't much into dice games in general, but I got into that, and that's really neat. I like the strategy involved with that.
Someone mentioned about teaching Russians to be interested in these things, but it seems like maybe communication is really the thing that ended the Cold War.
Oh, yeah, as soon as they couldn't really contain the information their people were getting. I mean, communism just died because, yeah, just way too much information about the rest of the world and how everyone else was living. Absolutely.
Another neat thing, and especially about this conference, I'm not a real big sports fan myself. I do like playing your baseball game, Jim, and especially the latest, whatever the last upgrade was you did to it, made it even better. That game is fantastic. I've had friends telling me about the football game, and I'm really not a big football fan, but after hearing your demonstration earlier of the football game, I think I may just have to go and get that and check it out, too.
Well, one of my favorite games, I must admit, is the golf game, and I actually just got a hole in one on that one just now, so I'm feeling very pleased with myself.
You lucky guy. I could never pull that off there, Kelly.
What course are you playing, Kelly?
I don't really know. It's one that I think it's probably one of the newer courses. I can't remember what they call it now.
I have to say, I'm not a big golf fan either, but again, now I do have your golf, and I get a kick out of it. I mean, I don't have a real good understanding of golf, but I've played. You know, I don't think I've done that well, but the sound effects, the ambience of the whole game, and it'll get your mind off a lot of stuff, and great way to relax and enjoy yourself.
Well, for me, the thing I like about it's the crowd noises. I mean, when you get make a powerful swing, they go and then they applause and all that. That's just great.
Sounds like Jim's really created a groundswell of inventiveness.
Oh, yeah, he was, I saw the things at the beginning in 1996, when I started the magazine, and yeah, there were so many developers that have come after and have been helped by the fact that Jim has kept interest alive, keeping these games out. It's just been incredible, like the kinds of stuff we're seeing now, and basically thanks to early pioneers like him and Phil Vlasak and a few others, I saw the thing mushroom out of nothing.
Lou again here. I'm in the process of looking into taking some classes in computering, programming, and whatnot. I have almost all of Jim's games. I have GMA games. I have Draconis games, and a bunch of the different games that are out there. I would like to try my hand eventually at possibly programming, and I have Jim and all of the other developers out there to thank for that encouragement. Whether I'll ever do anything with it or not, I don't know. But thanks to you guys, at least I have some goals to shoot for anyway.
I had downloaded a game of Badlands Blackjack, and I had that for 30 days. And one day, when I started that thing, I just could not let it go. You know, just to keep keep going with it, you know, that 21 and all that.
Hi, Jim, I think what would really boost, like, the gaming, you know, the accessible gaming industry in general, especially, you know, the audio games for blind people, is if somebody would come out with a game engine where you could kind of, where you could make, like, intermediate games, not really advanced 3D games, but maybe, you know, games like yours or games like Top Speed or some kind of, like, first-person arcade game, something like that, where you don't need to do any programming, where you kind of just drop and drag, you know, wave files onto, like, a form, and then you have edit boxes where you tell, well, you know, after this file plays, then, or while this file's playing, you know, raise the pitch up to here, and then you have a slider, and then when you're done building the game, then you hit the build button, and then the game is, you know, built into an executable or something like that. That way people could make their own games using DirectX without knowing how to program, because I did see there's a lot of game-making programs out there for sighted people, and yes, they do have limits, and if a game-making program would come out for blind people that would be usable, I'd imagine it would have limits also. But I think with the creativity of people that we would probably see a lot of good games come out if such an engine or if such a program were made, that we could make our own games without programming, just putting sounds and stuff on a form and telling the speech what to say and stuff like that, and, you know, having it do the calculations, having maybe like a simple calculator and stuff like that in it.
There was one that came out. I believe it was called Audio Game Maker. I don't know. People didn't have a whole lot of success with making games with it. I'm not sure if anybody else is, but I believe Thomas Ward says he's working on a game engine program just like what you just said. And also David Greenwood has one, but I understand it's fairly expensive if you want to purchase it, but there, you know, you'd have to talk to him. I'm not sure about that.
This Audio Game Maker, was that the they didn't have much success with that, but was that because back when the gaming area was new with computers and accessible games, is that why maybe no one took it any farther than that?
I can probably answer that. I think, as I remember it, I kind of lost track of it through a little bit into its run, but as I recall, it was kind of finished in a hurry, and it wasn't the sort of finalized. It was kind of a version that they still hoped to improve it somewhat, but they ran out of time. It was a case of sort of time and funding running out. So these students who made the engine just released what they had to the public, and it was still kind of quirky. Like it you couldn't just be a complete novice and sort of do much with it. I think that was as far as I understand from what I read, that was sort of the main issue that really prevented it from taking off, as far as I could see. I tried to get it going, and I couldn't even get it running on the computer that I had at the time.
Jim, this is John in Massachusetts once more. I was going to back off. But so that you're not bothered by people and whatnot, what would be actually the best time of the day for a person to contact you and all? I mean, we do have the information on your site as to how to contact you, but so that we're not bothering you at an inconvenient time for you, what's the best time of the day to be contacted?
That's hard to say. I'm sorry. I have a pretty strange schedule because of medications I take. I sleep from noon until 2 or 3, and I sleep from midnight until 2 or 3. But so any other time other than that, because I generally take the phone off the hook while I'm sleeping like that, but, you know, real early morning, afternoon, evening, as long as my phone rings, it doesn't bother me. But like I say, I do take it off the hook when I'm sleeping.
Maybe when people are trying to figure out these games, maybe it's hard to go to sleep.
I don't know what happened there. It sounded like somebody was trying to talk, but I wasn't hearing anything. One thing I wanted to say, this is Lou again. What I think is great, Jim, with your Monopoly and your golf, what is really neat is that you let people get involved in the kind of in the making of the game by creating Monopoly boards and golf courses. And I think that's real important. You know, people get to feel a part of the game, you know, and I haven't tried it myself. I'm not even sure if I could do it, but I just think that that's, you know, great that that opportunity is there.
I know I'm not a big golf fan, but just hearing what little bit I heard on Jim's demonstration and then Kelly saying that he just got a hole in one, now I know I've got to try it.
Hey, Jim, have you ever thought of making a fantasy game, like a kind of fantasy adventure type thing?
You mean kind of like the text adventure type things, or just, I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
I'm thinking more like a like an arcade adventure, where you can sort of... Okay, I'll let you take his question.
Well, Jim, this is Pat, and we certainly don't want to keep you all evening. But this has just been tremendously valuable. It's been fun to hear the games. I think the questions have been very good. You've been so candid and answered. And from all of us at Tech Talk, the audience and the planning committee together, we want to say a big thank you for making this type of entertainment available to us. We appreciate it, and we appreciate so much you being here tonight and sharing all of this with us.
Well, you're very welcome, Pat, and thank you very much, you and Fred, for inviting me. I didn't hear the last question right before you, but I think my golf game and my Monopoly are about the most popular right now. I know Mach 1 was pretty popular for a while. Pong's pretty good, but I think that golf and Monopoly are the most popular, and part of that may be because people can create their own golf courses and their own Monopoly boards and stuff like that.